This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. Joining me today, once again, is the one, the legendary...
Glenn Atkinson! I'm back, everybody!
Hey, I tell you what, it's great to be back, mate. It's great to be back.
Oh, it's great to be back too, Andy. And now, a bit of time off from podcasting.
Yeah, I've missed it. Have you missed it?
Yeah, I missed having a good catch up on the chat about retro games.
Yeah, all right. Before we find out what we've been doing, what's been happening, let me give you the show plan of what's going to be happening in today's show. So we're going to tell you a little bit about what we've been up to, what we've been playing. We've got some site news and announcements. We've got some reviews. We've got a retro gaming music of the month. We've got a WTF. We've got one hidden gem. Arcade conversions. A retro gaming shop. Retro gaming site of the week, Let's Play, which is a new section. We've got my favorite section of the podcast, Name the Game. We've got topic of the month, and yeah, then the roundup. So we've got a jam-packed retro fun show for everyone, Glenn.
I'm surprised you could say all that without breathing. Gosh.
Oh yeah.
It must be blue in your face.
Right, so before we sort of like find out what we've been up to and what's been happening, the site has changed dramatically since we...
It has.
Yeah, wow. We've got to thank Damien and everyone else who's been working on it. Oh yeah, and Lucy as well, Damien's other half, because it looks absolutely amazing.
It looks completely different class, isn't it? I like that computer screen with the episodes on it.
Yeah.
That looks really nice.
It does. I think with the new site, it's really going to help the podcasts and everything go that little bit further. Because I think we're going to go to a whole new level with this. This year, 2013, is going to be our year, mate. Definitely.
Oh, well, let's see what happens.
Right, okay, so we sort of like talked a little bit about the site. I want to find out, Glenn, before you talk about your gaming, what have you been up to since last time I talked to you?
Well, I've been snoring up on my ending leads.
Oh, yeah.
So my girlfriend has decided, well, let's play some sledging at the local park. So we have these big round adult sledges.
Yeah.
And we go to this massive hill. And it's funny because down this hill there's like a bump on the hill. And you
right.
don't see it until it's too late. So I went down, went over it, and fine. My girlfriend went down it. Honestly, the sledge flipped over. She did a roly-poly on the ground.
Oh, gosh, God.
She just rolled and rolled down the hill. I thought she was going to turn into a big snowball. Whoa, whoa. Anyway, she was perfectly fine, thank God.
Glenn, you know, I think when we first started recording the podcast, you had a very similar story. You started telling us that how Jackie went on a sledge and she fell off. So she's not very good at sledging then, is she?
I think I could keep control better, although she could go faster than me, because she's a lot shorter than me.
Because my
feet touch the ground.
Right.
It's not one of those long sledges, it's like like one of those round sledges.
Yeah.
And I also went to my local game today and pre-ordered the new SimCity game.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I tell you, it said there's an offer that says, if you pre-order SimCity, you get these games free.
Right.
And the people in the shop have no idea.
Well, they didn't know anything about it.
They didn't know anything about it until I went out and there was somebody else, looked like a manager, said, what's this offer? It says, oh, if you pre-order the game, you get it on the day when you come down to the shop.
Right.
But the staff had no clue. And I went,
oh, man, you should have said, by the way, do you know I'm Glenn from Retro Asylum Podcast? Get your butt in gear, guys. You should have said that.
Yeah.
Right, let me quickly tell you a little bit about what I've been up to. Now, first things first, I want to make a little apology. I want to apologise to Joy Pogs, because I think last time me and you recorded, I was in a bit of a bad mood. I'd only had about 2 hours sleep, and I was only half joking around, and I said, Joy Pogs this, Joy Pogs that. I was joking, guys. I wasn't serious, you know? But I think some people took it too seriously. So, Joy Pogs, I'm very, very sorry. And I'm happy with your 3-star review, because any review is a fantastic review in my eyes anyway. So, yeah, I've got that over and done with. Yeah, Glenn, I'm a dad now. Again.
Yeah, dad. Is this your third child now, Andy?
Yeah, it's my third one. Oh, God, I'm going to sound like such like a Jeremy Kyle type person, but it's my third child from a third different woman, if that makes any sense. Because I had my first kid.
3 different children, 3 different women.
Jeremy Kyle would love to have me on his program. Yeah, no, my little girl, Ramona, was born on the 10th of January. So that's the reason why I haven't been around in the whole January. It was a tough birth. My wife was in hospital for a week and a bit. Well, maybe a little, actually about 2 weeks. And I had to stay at home and look after my baby. So it's been tough. But it's been, amazing sort of bonding with her. So if you do hear any crying, that's my little girl. She's downstairs. I'm upstairs in the bedroom now recording this.
And it's Andy's little bundle of joy.
Definitely, mate. Definitely. So what games have you been playing, buddy?
Well, I...
Retro-wise, that is.
Retro-wise. Well, at Christmas time, I've got the SD card reader for the Commodore 64. Oh, wow. Now, I think it's a slightly different model to the one that Damien and Matt had, because they talked about this on the episode 31.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. It's like a little SD card reader. Mm-hmm. You put Commodore 64 game files on it, and you can actually run it on the actual Commodore 64. And I've been playing Rough and Ready.
I've
been playing... Mayhem in Monsterland.
I've been
playing Donkey Kong. I've been playing Jack the Nipper.
Yep.
I've been playing some really good games on it.
So how does it work then, Glenn? Well, first of all, tell us how much it costs, where you got it from, and then tell us how you set this up, because I'm curious about these SD cards.
Yeah, it's my... I asked my girlfriend, could you get this for me? It was 50 quid. She said, I spent 50 quid on you at Christmas.
Yeah.
So she got me it, and I got it on Christmas Day. Now, you only have, like, a little sheet of paper actually telling you how the thing works.
Right,
and then you have to go to a separate site and download this browser that's on your SD card. So when you load up the Commodore 64, you're going to have to type down, I think it's load something star. I can't remember it now. I have to look at the sheet of piece of paper. And then you have to start the browser. And then what it does then, it browses the games on your SD card.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think other people might do it different ways, but the way I do it, it works.
So basically, this gives you, it lets you play games emulation, but via your own C64, is that correct?
Yes, it emulates the disk drive for the Commodore 64, so no more of those 10-minute tape loading and failed tapes.
So, what does it feel like? Does it feel like a proper C64, or does it feel like emulation? Is there any differences?
It actually just emulates the disk drive. The actual game itself runs on the Commodore 64 on the actual platform. And it's really nice to actually play Mayhem in Monsterland on the actual Commodore 64. It's just brilliant playing that on it.
You know what? I'm really tempted to get myself a C64. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've been playing, Glenn, because... Like I said, I'm a dad again, the baby's in the house, changing nappies and everything, and I've been, there's been weeks it's just been me and the baby. I haven't had any real time to play, but on Saturday, my wife came out of hospital, and basically what happened is I downloaded something on my iPhone. I'm not going to tell you what the app is, because we'll talk about this on the news section, and I have been playing Dizzy on my iPhone, and I tell you what, I love this game. I've never finished Dizzy, and it's made me fall in love with this game even more.
Is it the Prince of the Ophirt one?
No.
Was it a different one?
No, it's an emulation one that I'm playing, but we'll talk about that on the site news. But let me tell you, Glenn, the first Dizzy game, I loved it. I'm replaying this again. I'm sort of getting into it more so than ever. And I think the reason why I'm enjoying it a lot more, Glenn, is that it's got save slots, so you can save,
because,
so it's making it more easier for me, because I can't dedicate like a whole hour to a game, so I'm playing 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and I tell you what, this game is tough. It's not as easy as Fantasy World or Magic Land Dizzy. It's Really good, though. Amazing game.
If you think it's tough on the iPhone with save slots, can you imagine actually playing on the Spectrum with limited lives and those save slots?
Oh, man. Glenn, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you get a certain amount of lives. Obviously, you know, if you know where you're going, you can do it. But there's certain bits, like this little bridge that you cross, and if you jump in the wrong place, the bridge collapses, and it's game over because there's no way out of that pit. And I remember being an 11-year-old kid, or even younger, frustrated.
You must have cried, getting so far, hours and hours of gameplay.
But like now...
The Oliver twins say that co-masters were complaining about the game was too easy?
Yeah, but you know what? I think the game's challenging. I've set myself that task. I need to finish it, definitely.
Hello, everybody. This is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
Right, next up is site news and announcements. Why don't you tell us what site news and announcements we have?
On the 18th and 19th of May 2013, they're going to have something called Revival.
So Revival is basically a retro gaming event, similar in vein to Replay Expo, but this is done by Chris Wilkins. And it's going to have loads and loads and loads of retro computers, consoles, arcade games. And the best thing is there's going to be so many guests. It's literally going to have who's who guests there. All of the twins are going to be there as well.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, so like we're going to pop by and say hello to them and hopefully grab a little podcast. But the best thing is, Glenn, guess what? We've got behind the scenes passes
nice.
Again. So, yeah. Guys, you got to check out, what's it called, Revival. And I think it's in Wolverhampton on the 18th and 19th of May, which is a Saturday and Sunday. Tickets are available, so I suggest go down to RevivalRetroEvents.com and buy yourself some tickets because it is going to be a huge event and it's certainly something that you're not going to miss out. So, Glenn, I mean, what are you looking forward to about this event?
Well, I'm looking forward to, like, playing a lot of the retro games. Meeting some great people like the Oliver twins, like you say, and just have a great time, you know, because I love retro replay.
Mm-hmm.
So if it be anything similar to that, it'd be absolutely brilliant, because I really enjoy these things.
I reckon this is going to be even bigger and better. I think it's going to be absolutely fantastic. And like I said, you know, I want to give a big shout out to Chris Wilkins for sorting out our press passes. So, you know, thank you very much, Chris. And all our listeners, you have to go and check this out. You know, if you work weekends, then please book the weekends off. And if you don't, please check this event out. It's definitely worth going to. So let's go to the next little bit of site news and announcements. And this is something that I really want to talk about, Glenn. It is MAME is back. Now, MAME is an arcade emulator, and it's back on the iPhone. Now, basically what happened is MAME for All came out on the iPhone, I think last year sometime. But within 2 days, I think it was, it got pulled from, you know, by the App Store, by Apple, because I think you're not allowed to use emulation and so on. So they pulled it, and... if you guys are fast enough and this hasn't been pulled, I suggest get this app. It's called Gridly. And it's actually one game, but this one game actually has like a hidden MAME emulator in it. And I've basically downloaded it and I've been playing loads and loads of games. It's a better arcade emulator than the previous one. So it's amazing, Glenn. It's really worth checking out if you've got an iPhone.
Yeah, I will check this out because I got an iPhone.
Yeah, honestly,
I will definitely check this out before nasty Apple takes it away.
Have you got your iPhone right there next to you now?
Yeah, where's my iPhone?
Guys, we're going to do this live. Glenn's going to get himself Gridly on the iPhone. Hopefully it hasn't been taken away, but honestly, Glenn, I'm not going to talk about how you do, you know, how you add games onto it, but I will sort of like tell you off podcast how you do it. But I won't tell our listeners. I'm sure our listeners will figure out how to do it somehow.
How do you spell it? G-R-I-D...
L-E-E. Gridley.
Gridley.
Right, now it's a moment of truth. Is this still on the App Store, or has it been pulled?
Gridley. Here it is. Download. By David somebody.
Yep, download.
That's it.
download it, Glenn.
It's free?
Yeah, of course. Wow. And that's the best thing. It is free. How amazing is that?
Password? All right.
Well, don't tell us what your password is, Glenn, because otherwise we'll all use your iTunes account.
I didn't say anything else except for password. Everybody has a password.
Glenn's password is password, by the way, guys.
Password. You'll get nowhere using password. You get nowhere with that.
All right, so yeah, Glenn, once we finish the show, I'll tell you how you add ROMs to this. So yeah, those are site news and announcements.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
It's the review time.
Right, you know what? I've been nattering on, and as much as I like the sound of my own voice, I want you to take control of this part. So, what game are you going to review today?
Today, I'm reviewing a game called Rough and Ready. And it is like a cartoon space adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was released by High Tech Software in 1990. Now, what you have to do in this game, it's really strange. You're like on this planet, and it's like a platform game. You have to avoid these robots, these little balls, and all sorts of enemies. And what you have to do, you have to collect these like blue robots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the game, it sounds very simple by what I'm telling you, but
yeah,
oh, it's hard. I remember playing this game as a kid, and you're trying to avoid these robots, and you keep dying and dying all the time. You only have like 3 lives on the first level. So it's very easy to die in this game, but it's really rewarding when you collect all the blue robots, avoid all the enemies, and get onto the second stage. Mm-hmm. Now, I never managed to actually pass the second stage.
Right.
I always liked this game for some reason. It's very nicely drawn, the intro music's lovely, and the load-up screen, it looks lovely. It is a really nice game.
Now, one of the things, I think I have played this, if memory serves me right, it's a platforming type game.
Yes, it is like a platforming type game. It's from an old cartoon called Rough and Ready from the 1950s.
I think that was Hanna-Barbera.
Now, yes.
If I remember right, High Tech were a budget label, and they got the license to loads of Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I think they even had Top Cat and loads of other things. And they did do some quite, you know, great quality budget games. And Rough and Ready is renowned for being one of the best ones they've actually done.
It's a really nice game. If you've got like a Commodore 64 emulator, a real Commodore 64, I recommend you check it out. It's actually a really good game.
So what would you score this game graphically out of 5?
Out of 5? For Commodore 64, probably I'll score it 4. It looks really, really nice.
What about sound and audio?
The intro sound is mm-hmm. really nice, but there's no in audio kind of like game. There's no music actually in the game itself.
Yeah.
Probably audio-wise, 3.
Okay, that's fair enough. So overall, Glenn, what would you score this game then? Playability and everything overall?
I'll give it a for good 4.
4 out of 5.
I really did like this game, and I highly recommend it to anyone who got a Commodore 64. Just check it out.
All right, we'll definitely will do. Now we'll move on to my game, Glenn. The game that I want to talk about is California Games on the Sega Master System.
Now, I played this on the Atari Lynx.
Right, okay, maybe there might be a little bit of a battle here, because I honestly believe the best version of California Games is on the Sega Master System. I really think the Sega Master System version is the best. Have you played the Master System version?
I have not played the Master System version, but I've played the Atari Lynx version, and that's really, really good. I did like that game. It's strange. It's like an Olympic type of game. You know what I mean, there's like surfing and there's a bit with a bouncer ball, and you have to bounce a ball on the hands or head or something. And there's also a really hard BMX course.
Yeah, well, basically, there's seven levels. The first level is a skateboarding on a half pipe, and you have to go up and down doing little tricks. The second level is a foot bag. Like you said, you've got to hit this little bag and sort of do little tricks on it. Third level is surfing, which is probably my favorite level. The fourth one is roller skating. The fifth one is BMXing. You know, you go from left to right. It's really good. Do some tricks. And I think the last level is the discus, where you've got to throw. But it's got so much variety. And you can play up to 8 players. You take turns, basically. And you try and beat each other. And it's so damn addictive, because each game, it's like a game to itself. You know, each, you know, sub-game. It's amazing, Glenn. And I've played this on the C64. I've played this on the Spectrum and on the Mega Drive. And the Sega Master System version, just, it's amazing. The graphics are bright. They're colourful. The music is catchy. And, yeah, it works well on the Sega Master System, Glenn. And I recommend that you check this game out.
I should check it out on the Sega Master System. Have you played it on the Atari Lynx at all?
No, I haven't actually, but I've got a feeling the Atari Lynx version is similar to the C64 version, because it was done by Epix. I think they were very similar in style, you know, because Epix made this game, I believe. So I think it'll be similar to that version. So I think next time you play that version, I'll play the Lynx version, and we can see, you know, which version really is the best. But I recommend this game to everyone. Graphics, 5 out of 5. Sound, 3 out of 5. Playability, 5 out of 5. Overall, 5 out of 5, Glenn. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
This is Matt Denaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
So let's move on to our next section is, what is that then, Glenn?
Retro Gaming Music of the Month.
Right, so this Retro Gaming Music of the Month was chosen by Daydream. And guys, you can do this by going to retroasylum.com, click on forum. If you go to site and podcast, there's a little section there that's got retro gaming music. And all you have to do is tell us what track you want us to play, and why you want us to play this, and how it made you feel. And Daydream has chosen a game called Mucha Molest. I think I pronounced that right. And the song, called Mucha Molest, yes. I think it's like a shoot-'em-up game. I've never played it. The track's called Armed Armor, and it's on the Sega Mega Drive. Now, I've not listened to this. I don't think you have, but we'll play it anyway. And yeah, guys, I hope you enjoy it. Right, so what is our next section, Glenn?
It is WTF time.
Right. Now, my WTF is a game called Back to the Future 2. Ooh. Now, it came out on a number of different systems. I believe the 8-bit home computer versions were the same as the Sega Master System, but this was a horrible, horrible, horrible game, Glenn. It's
horrible, I know. And
have you played it?
I checked it out, and it's... Oh, no. I love the Back to the Future films. I just wish they commit, you know, especially the early day games. I think the modern ones are better, because the point and click, but we're talking about the retro ones here.
Yeah.
I think the games that came out weren't that great.
Well, no, I mean, I think the first Back to the Future game on the ZX Spectrum and the C64 were good. Back to the Future 3 wasn't too bad.
I never liked the Back to the Future games, Andy.
But this Back to the Future 2 was the worst of the worst, Glenn. It's boring, it's repetitive, it's dull. Let's talk about how you do it. You play Marty McFly, and obviously you're in the future, you're in Hill Valley in the future, and you're on a hoverboard, and you have to go from left to right, and you can move up and down as well. And you've got to avoid little things that try and get you, you've got to try and avoid the baddies. It's slowish, it's sluggish, the graphics are so basic. The Master System, Glenn, could do so much better than this, so much better.
If you notice, Andy, the graphics actually pop up.
It's a horrible sort of film license, Glenn. They could have done something so much better with this. I honestly reckon they could have done. But, yeah, that's one to really watch out for. I mean, if you really want to tarnish Back to the Future 2, I actually recommend you play this game, because it's horrible. It really is. It's got some diagonal levels, which are similar to Paperboy as well, halfway in between.
Yeah, and what else I noticed about this game, they have, like, dogs and cats coming after you, and just prams that come after you, and there's one baddie, I can't even make out what it is, it looks like it's a little toy that comes after you. I can't remember ever seeing those on Back to the Future 2.
No, it's absolutely...
Get chased by Griff?
Yeah. Oh, the film, I'll tell you what, guys, check out the trilogy. The trilogy is absolutely amazing. Some of my favourite films ever. All right, enough of talking about Back to the Future. It's a horrible game.
Hey everybody, this is Buzzbot from Oddpod and the Free Bees Podcast. You're listening to the greatest, funkiest retro gaming podcast in the world, Retro Asylum.
It is Hidden Gem.
What?
And it's my hidden gem this time.
And what is your hidden gem, Glenn?
My hidden gem is Bouncy Heads on the Commodore 64. Have you ever played this, Andy?
No, you mentioned it previously on a last podcast, and I thought it was Whizball or another game that you will think talking about. Is it actually called Bouncy Heads?
The game's actually called Bouncy Heads. Yeah, it was released around about 1991.
Yeah.
And you're this great big head.
Mm-hmm.
And you go around this maze, you collect these lips.
Yeah.
And you got to collect enough lips to complete the level. And as you go around this maze, you get these green monsters that also bounce around the maze, and you've got to escape from them, basically, or you can fire your weapon at them. But
right.
You only have a certain amount of bullets to actually kill them. It's a very simple kind of like a game, but in the end, it's very addictive. It's really, really good.
And who made this game, Glenn?
It was made by the same company who made Ed the Duck.
Oh, God, that was terrible. That was like a Rainbow Islands ripoff, wasn't
it? Yeah. It was.
So, yeah, I mean, what is it about this game, then, that makes it so special, Glenn? What is it that makes it a hidden gem? Why would people like this game?
The gameplay. It has a really... It doesn't have much in sound effects, but it wins me back with the gameplay. It's very, very addictive. And I found a way when I was a kid. I don't know what I press. I banned the keyboard on the Commodore 64. And what it does, it comes up with some kind of level editor.
Really? Wow.
So what you can do is edit the levels. I don't know how you do it, But I just one day banged my hands on the keyboard. This thing came up, and you can edit the levels and put what you want in them.
And you haven't done it since that day, then?
No, I've not done it on my C64 because it's that old; it could break it.
Yeah, can you you bang it and then it just breaks in half? Now, so what does this game remind you of? Like, is there any other game similar to this game, Glenn, so I can try and picture this in my head a little bit more?
It's kind of like Pac-Man, but not like Pac-Man. You go around and you collect kisses around like a maze.
Yeah.
It's like a top looking down on a maze. It's...
Yeah.
Check it out, Andy. It's a really great game.
Do you know if it came out on the ZX Spectrum?
Do you know, I think it's only Commodore 64, but don't bump me on that. I think it's a Commodore 64 only game.
I think what I'll have to do is ask my good friend Google and search it up and find it, I guess. Alright then, so yeah, guys, if you haven't played a Bouncy Heads, check it out. Why not? It's Glenn's hidden gem.
Is arcade conversions.
Yeah, arcade conversions. Now, this is a new section. In this new section, what I want to do is talk about amazing arcade conversions, because there's so many amazing arcade conversions out there, and we just want to give you some of the best ones that we recommend that you should check out. So we're not going to go into depth. We're not going to tell you who made this game, what the guy's sister was called, what his uncle was called, you know, what his dog was called. We're just going to tell you a little bit of our memory of why we like this game, why we recommend that you should check this game out. So, what's your arcade conversion then, Glenn, that you want to talk about?
I want to talk about a great arcade conversion, and it's called Ridge Racer on the PlayStation 1.
Wow.
Now, I remember as a kid going into the arcades in the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
and there was this game called Ridge Racer.
Yeah, Namco.
And from Namco. And I just looked at it and went, wow, you could never have a game like this back at home. Look mm-hmm. at the graphics. It looks so realistic. It looks like it's an actual car on the track.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting down, paying 50p, and have a good go at it. And then one day, I was on holiday in Spain, and on the shop window, there was the Sony PlayStation 1 just released in September 1995. It was released, and it was playing Ridge Racer, actually on the console. That went, wow, it looks exactly like the arcade game. And I played it recently, and it's probably 99% like the arcade game. It's,
really? Wow.
It's really, really good conversion of the game.
So, I mean, what was it? I mean, graphically, now, you're looking at it now as an adult. Is it graphically like exactly like the arcade, or is it just very close to the arcade?
Do you know, it is very, very close to the arcade. I probably will say it's probably at least 90 to 99% look like the actual arcade game. Mm-hmm. They actually done a really good job to it, Namco. It's brilliant, basically. It's a really simple race around the track game, and if you just want a quick game on something that's not too overcomplicated,
mm-hmm.
and you've just got 5 minutes before you go to work, Ridge Racer's the game to play.
Yeah, no, I completely, totally agree. I mean, when I first got my PS1 as well, it was these games, you know, like Ridge Racer, that really sold me on getting myself a PS1, because I'd seen, you know, I was a big fan of the arcade game. You know, I also liked other games like Tekken and so on, and it was these two games that really made me think, wow, the PS1 really is pushing technology to the limits. My Super Nintendo was looking old. My Mega Drive just didn't cut it anymore. The PS1 was the way to go, basically. Alright, so let me tell you a little bit about my arcade conversion. Now, ages and ages ago, when I was about 11 or 12, one of my favourite games ever used to be The New Zealand Story. I used to love that arcade game. Now, I got it on my ZX Spectrum and on the Amstrad and on the C64. And as great versions they are, you can see that, you know, it struggled. It really did. I mean, I think color-wise, the C64 looks more like it. The Spectrum sprites look more like it. But it just... It wasn't quite there. And then I remember before I got myself my NES, my friend Dan, he had one. And he brought his NES over to my house. And he basically put the cartridge in. And I couldn't believe how amazing this game was. It was superb. I mean, okay, it didn't have the colour. But it had that feel. It had the music. Even though the music feels a bit more of a remix, it had that playability. And it was like playing an arcade game in my bedroom. And I loved that game so much. And to this day, it's one of my favourite games ever. There is a better version. I think the Sega Master System version is better. But the reason why I'm talking about the NES version was because at the time, that really made such a huge impression on me. It really wowed me, you know. None of this tape loading. None of this sort of loading in between levels. Instant there from the moment you put the cartridge in. Full colour. Amazing music. Wow, gameplay to match.
You definitely paid the price to have it on the cartridge, isn't it? Because they weren't that cheap compared to the tapes.
No, you're completely correct there, actually. That was a difference, I believe, because cartridges on the Nintendo were anywhere between, I think, about 39 to 40-something pounds. And New Zealand Story, when it came out in the Speccy and the C64, it was $10.99, you know, full price. So you did pay that little bit extra, but it was worth it, big time, definitely. So yeah, these are our two arcade conversions that we highly recommend. Please check them out, give us your feedback on that. So yeah, the next section of the podcast is retro gaming shops. Now, as you know, we love retro gaming. You can buy retro games online via eBay, Amazon, loads of other places. But there is a retro gaming shop that we want to promote to you guys. And it's called Blitz. And it's near where Glenn goes on his holiday. It's in Bridlington.
Do you know what? I've been in this shop.
Have you?
Been in the shop in
Glenn,
Bridlington.
Why haven't you told me about this, Glenn? Why haven't
I've been in this shop. It's a really good shop.
Right, Glenn, so you tell us about the shop and tell me why you've never told me about this shop, Glenn.
I've been in here. Yeah. It's by the seaside town at Bridlington. I go here like once every 4 weeks during the holiday season.
Yeah.
And inside this shop, there's... there's Super Nintendo games all over the walls, all over the ceiling.
Yeah.
And there's loads of Sega Saturn games, and anything you want is in that shop. Now, actually, the prices in the shop it's actually not too bad. You know, they range from £3, £4 to £6. And yeah, it's a really nice shop.
So, I mean, what other systems do they have? I mean, I'm looking at the website now, and they say they cover stuff like PlayStation 1, Mega Drive, Super Nintendo, N64. I mean, have they got, like, a large variety? Is it just a few games?
Yes, they have got a large variety of games. They
right.
have, yeah. God, I can't believe you mentioned the shop. I should have mentioned the shop before.
I cannot believe that you've never mentioned the shop. So, yeah, let's plug them again. It's called Blitz... And it's a retro gaming shop, which is in Bridlington. So, Glenn, I mean, what are the people like that work there?
I've never really had the word with people working there because they won't really say anything to you unless you ask them something. They'll let you just browse the shop.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give these guys a call and let them know that basically they're on the show. So, guys from Blitz, hello! And we're just plugging your show. So, yeah, we're basically what we're doing is plugging loads of retro games shops every week on the podcast. So, yeah, we decided to choose a Blitz.
And I hope you keep your shop open because Bridlington, it's becoming a bit like the ghost town in the retailer. You know, you walk down the street, there's more and more boarded shops every week. It's a shame, really, because Bridlington's a nice seaside town. We'll be right back.
let's move on to our next section, which is Retro Gaming Site of the Week. Now, again, this is another new section. Now, we're trying to expand and do different things with this podcast, so that way we can give you a variety. And what we're going to do is talk to you about a retro gaming site. Now, today's gaming site that I want to talk about is Yolkfolk, the Dizzy fan site. So what do you think of this site thing?
I got to say one thing. If you like Dizzy, if you want to go to a place where there's other Dizzy fans and play fan-made Dizzy games, yolkfolk.com is the site to go to. It is a lovely, well-designed site, and you could go on the forum and talk about what Dizzy games you like and have a good conversation about Dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have all the Dizzy Age games. They even have my Dizzy games on that site.
Yeah.
And you could just download and play them. And it's a really, really amazing site.
Yeah. Now, a couple of episodes ago, I think, I can't remember what episode it was, I was lucky enough to interview Andrew Joseph. Andrew Joseph is the guy that runs the site. And I tell you what, he's absolutely amazing. Really nice guy. Chat to him from time to time on Facebook and so on. And he actually won the N64 prize that we gave away in the competition. So, yeah. But the reason why I love Yolkfolk, I think it must have been years and years ago when I first got the internet, Glenn. You know, like you start Googling things, you start searching things. And I typed in Dizzy, and Yolkfolk showed up. And what I loved about it is the people on the forum are so friendly. If there's something that you want to know about Dizzy, this Dizzy fan site has it all. And most of all, Glenn, it's the, you know, Dizzy Age games. They're amazing. I absolutely love the fan-made games. Some of the fan-made games are even better than some of the later Dizzy games, like Spellbound Dizzy or Crystal Kingdom Dizzy. You know, some of my favorite games are like Winterland Dizzy. That's probably one of my favorite ones. I think Jungle Island Dizzy is another one of my favorite ones from the sites.
If you, Andy, have, let's just say you know how to use the Dizzy Age engine.
Yeah.
What kind of Dizzy game would you make?
Well, I've thought about this. I mean, the guys at, you know, Yolkfolk, they do like a competition, I think, once a year. So next time they do one, I'm definitely going to plug it on the site. So maybe a few of us from Retro Asylum can actually enter that competition. But I want to start it small, Glenn. I want to make a game that's only about, what, 4 screens? And one of my favorite Dizzy games ever, Glenn, was Dizzy 3.5. And it was just basically continues from Dizzy 3 to Dizzy 4. It's the in-between bit. It shows you how he got from Dizzy 3 to Dizzy 4. And I want to do something like that, basically.
Oh.
So what sort of Dizzy game would you make using the Dizzy Age tool?
Oh, what kind of Dizzy game I made? The thing is, I made a few Dizzy games. I made a couple.
Yeah, but a cartoon adventure game, like the original Dizzy game. What would you call yours, then? And have you used this Dizzy Age? I mean, I've tried it. I can't use it, though.
I've seen how it's used. It's like a template.
Yeah.
With loads of things, loads of objects and things from the past Dizzy games you could put into it. It does involve programming, because I remember seeing on a YouTube website somebody using it and said, yes, you do need to program it in.
Yeah.
And what kind of game would I make? It'd be something like wacky or silly, like Dizzy in Space or...
You know, they've got that game on Yolkfolk.
Have they?
Yeah.
I think anything you could think of, somebody at Yolkfolk would have made it. But, yeah. You know, I'll make something wacky and something that's different.
All right. Well, guys, you probably all checked Yolkfolk out. Give it a go. You know, if you haven't, it's a great site, great community, wonderful people down there. And, yeah, check it out, guys. And this is a new section. It's called Let's Play. Now, do you want to explain how this is going to work, or shall I, Glenn?
You explain, Andy.
Right, so this is a new section we're starting just now. Now, every time me and Glenn record, we're going to do this. Now, I want Glenn to play a game that he's never played before, and Glenn's going to tell me a game to play that I haven't played before. So what is the game that you want me to play so next time when we record the podcast, I would have played it, and I'll give you my honest opinion of what I think of this amazing game you told me?
Andy, you should check out Mayhem in Monsterland.
Ah, on the C64.
On the Commodore 64. It was only released on the Commodore 64, but check it out, Andy, and you'll see why it was such a brilliant game, and such well-programmed game as well.
All right, what is it about this game that you like so much, and why do you think I should play it?
When you play Mayhem in Monsterland, you cannot believe it actually is running on a Commodore 64. The scrolling on the screen is nice and smooth. Mm-hmm. And it had some really good creative music. It has lovely colour. And it's like it's really well programmed and and it's really well thought of. It's not an easy game, but it's really well thought of, and especially when you collect all the magic dust and go to the dragon.
All right, I mean, I'll definitely check it out. How long do you reckon I should try it out for? Half an hour? An hour?
I'll say give it a good hour, especially trying to collect all the dust. Because I think you jump on top of these enemies, and some of them have like magic dust or powder. You collect it, and then you go down into a hole, and then you see this dragon. This dragon says, "Oh, I collected enough dust to splay over Jellyland to make it happy again."
I'll tell you what, Glenn. All right, I will play this game for an hour, and what I'd like the community to do as well, I'm going to put this on the forum. It's going to be a new section called Let's Play. And every time me and Glenn do this, we're going to mention the game. We want you guys to play it. So once this podcast comes out, you'll see a section on the forum that will say Let's Play or have Mayhem Monsterland. And I want you to give us your feedback on this game so that way we can read it out as well. Now, the game I'd like you to play, Glenn, is Legend of Zelda on the Super Nintendo. It's called A Link to the Past.
Link to the Past.
On the Super Nintendo. Right, so yeah, Glenn, now the reason why I think you should play this game is because you've never really played a Zelda game before, have you?
No, I think the thing is with me about these type of games, you've got to have a lot of patience playing it.
Yeah.
It seems like one of these type of games with me, such as I tend to like a lot of games you pick up and play. Now, it's very strange of me mention that, because I love SimCity.
Yeah.
And that's not really a pick up and play game.
Well, I think Zelda is, unless you give it a chance, you won't really, you know, a lot of people go, "Oh, Zelda, it's not that great." But the moment, I mean, that's what I'm saying, Glenn. I'm going to play Mayhem Monsterland for 1 hour, and I want you to play at least till you've completed the first dungeon in Link to the Past. You need to finish the first dungeon. That probably will take you about an hour, but you'll find that you journey through, you know, you'll meet the princess, she gets kidnapped, you begin your search, and hopefully by solving these little puzzles in the dungeon, maybe you might want to play even more. I mean, you might not even like this game after playing it, you know, after you finish the first dungeon. You might go, "Oh, you know, I tried it, Andy, but I didn't like it." So this is what this section's going to be, guys. Let's play. Glenn's always going to recommend a game for me to play that I haven't played, and vice versa. And then we put it on the forums. The following week when we record, we would have played it. And then we give you our feedback. And then we announce another game that we should basically want to play. So, yeah. Now, the next section is my favourite part of the podcast, Glenn.
Name the game.
Name the game.
I can't do it good as Swaney. Name the game.
Right, so you think of a game, Glenn, so I haven't thought of one, so I'm going to kill a bit of time. Let me explain to our listeners who haven't heard this before, and if you have, just bear with us. Now, the way this game works is I think of a game in my head, and I can only answer in yes and no. And Glenn obviously asks me questions, and I answer yes and no. And then see if he can guess the correct game, basically. I can give him little clues along the way if he does get stuck. And guys, you can play this at home and see if you can beat you know, Glenn, if you can get it right before he does. And
all right, who's going first?
You go first, Glenn, so go on.
You got to guess your game.
Right, so Glenn, all right, is it an arcade game?
No.
Is it on the C64?
Yes, it was on the C64.
Ah, I had a feeling it would be on the C64, because you are Mr. C64, aren't you?
It did appear on that.
Right. Is it a platformer?
No.
Is it a shoot-em-up?
No, it's not a shoot-em-up.
Is it a strategy-type game?
No.
Is it a racing game?
Yes.
Right, it's a racing game. And it's not an arcade conversion.
No, I never recall it being in the arcade.
Was it made by Codemasters?
No.
Was it made by Ocean?
No, I don't think it was an Ocean game.
Mastertronic?
No, it's not Mastertronic.
Is that a two-player game?
Yes, you can play two-player.
Is it like a Super Sprint rip-off?
No, it's not. It's not like Super Sprint.
Is it?
I give you a clue.
Okay.
It has like it's more like an Outrun type of game-ish.
An Outrun game that didn't.
It has like a same kind of graphical thing, or graphics or scrolling like Outrun.
Right, oh gosh.
I'll give you another clue.
Go on then.
It was more popular on the Amiga.
Oh, Lotus.
Lotus. Well done, Andy.
Yay, I finally got one right. So, okay, I'm going to go for... Let me think of my game. Right, I've thought of my game. Glenn, can you name the game?
Does it have Zelda in it?
Nope.
Is it a Nintendo game?
Nope.
Is it a Sega game?
Nope.
Is it a PlayStation game?
Nope.
Was it on a 16-bit system?
Nope.
8-bit system?
Yes.
8-bit. 8-bit game. That narrows it down. Is it a shoot-em-up?
No.
Is it a car racing game?
Nope.
Is it a platform?
No. Can you guys guess this before Glenn? Sorry, mate.
Is it a text adventure game?
No.
No. Right. Is it a sports game?
No.
No. Right, so it's not even a platform game.
There's a few different genres that you've missed out. Now, guys, while Glenn thinks about this, see if you can get it before he does. Glenn's really thinking now. I can hear those sort of, like, things in Glenn's head working.
Yeah, I can hear the mice running around in my head. The little wheel going... is it like a shoot-em-up?
No.
A space shoot-em-up game?
Nope.
No, it's not a space shoot-em-up. Is it a movie license game?
No.
No. Does it star an egg?
No, it doesn't star an egg. Not that obvious.
Right. It's not a Nintendo game. It's not a Sega game. It's not on a...
Shall I give you a bit of a clue?
Yeah, give me a bit of a clue, Andy.
Right. It was on the Spectrum, Amstrad and C64. It is a beat-em-up, sort of.
Ah, beat-em-up. Target Renegade?
Nope.
Double Dragon?
Nope.
The way it exploding fits?
Close, but not quite.
Barbarians?
Yes! Well done! You got it. It is Barbarian. It is Barbarian, mate. Fantastic.
I didn't say beat-em-up, did I? No.
Yeah, you completely forgot to say beat-em-up. Yeah, so, yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed Name the Game. It's my favourite section of the podcast because we all sort of, like, start guessing what it is. Yeah. Oh, before I forget, guys, I forgot. Hopefully this podcast will be somewhat different. Hopefully this podcast will be done in chapters, which is a new thing that we'll be doing. So if you want to skip certain sections, you just press skip on your iPhone or MP3 player, and it takes you to the next section. So each section is skippable. If you want to listen to the whole thing, fantastic. Let's move on to the next section, which is our last section, which is a topic of the month.
And it's It's retro gaming on YouTube.
Yeah, now this is something that I've been wanting to talk about for absolutely ages. Now, retro gaming's, well, it's, gaming's always been around, but for me personally, I honestly believe that YouTube has really helped rejuvenate bringing retro gaming back to the masses, really, because it's making it more easy available. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with that, because I can sit down and think, what's that game up available on the Commodore 64? Go on YouTube, watch the video of it.
Yeah.
And I can honestly see what the game was like, and I can have some sort of opinion. Mm-hmm. Thinking, yeah, that looks like a good game, I should check that out. And it also has like people doing topics on it, like people like Steve Benway.
Right, well, we'll move on to that section in a little bit, Glenn. Now, what I want to talk about is then, Glenn, like, all right, so back in the olden days, reviews used to be done in magazines. You know, that's where people used to get the source of information. You used to call people reviewers. Now, YouTube is inundated with loads and loads of reviewers. Some amazing, some absolutely rubbish. So, how long have you been with YouTube, sort of?
I've been doing, like, game reviews on and off since 2010.
Well, before you started doing game reviews, I mean, how did you, you know, what was your first experience with YouTube?
My first experience with retro gamer on YouTube? Well, it's like when I found yours, retro, what do they call it, 8-Bit Wars?
Yeah.
When I found your 8-Bit Wars. And what I liked about your 8-Bit Wars at the time is nobody else did it. Nobody mm-hmm. else compared a Spectrum game, Amstrad game, and a Commodore 64 game on the same review. Because mm-hmm. if you wanted to do that beforehand, you used to have to go on all different types of
yeah.
channels and look. So it was nice to have it on one video review.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first really experience with retro gaming.
Oh, really?
So I mean, YouTube.
Well, yeah. That's what I wanted to find out. So you went onto YouTube, you typed in, what did you type in? What was the first search thing you typed in?
Dude, I typed in Commodore 64 versus Spectrum.
Did you? Why was that?
I just want to see what the difference was between the two systems, because right. I was very curious of it.
Right, okay. For me, I think, again, I just recently got the internet back in the day, and I went on the YouTube, and I hadn't even had like a YouTube channel, and I just started thinking, I started looking at stupid things like, I don't know, drunk person falling over, women with big boobs on a trampoline, and then I started thinking, oh, I wonder about retro games, and I typed in ZX Spectrum and typed in Dizzy, and then a Dizzy video appeared, and it was like a walkthrough, and I was like, wow. So I started typing in more things, and I started coming across different reviewers on different games and different systems. Yeah, I mean, one of my first reviewers that I saw was a guy called Dentalox, but we'll talk more a little bit about that in a second. So yeah, what are your three favorite YouTube reviewers, and tell us why, and what is it about you like him?
Well, my favourite YouTube reviewers is Steve Benway.
Right, okay.
What I like about Steve Benway, he picks up a game
mm-hmm.
and he plays it, and he will tell you honest opinion about it.
Yeah.
He won't just say it's good to please people.
Yeah.
He will play it, and he thinks it's rubbish. He says, oh, I think this is rubbish. This is why it's rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, I like his talks when he does about retro gaming.
Yeah.
Because he does like a big long talk. He does like a half an hour talk. And all he talks about in that hour is all about retro gaming and
mm-hmm.
his experience with retro gaming. Because what I like about Steve Benway is he was around before me. He's in his 40s. So
yeah.
he experienced gaming from the very beginning. And he talks
yeah.
about, like, the Odyssey, the Atari 2600, and then it goes down into, like, the Spectrum, the ZX81, and he talks about all his gaming past, and I think, wow,
now,
he experienced what I have not experienced.
I agree with you, Glenn. I think Steve Benway is absolutely fantastic. If he likes something, he'll tell you he likes it, and if he doesn't like it, he'll tell you he doesn't like it. So, all right, then. So tell me, who's next on your list, then, of your three favorite YouTube reviewers and why?
You've got to absolutely scream at me at this, but he's probably one of my first videos I ever watched, but he wasn't always on YouTube. He is on YouTube, but it also branches out elsewhere.
Who?
He's a very, very popular with a lot of people in the gaming.
Who's that then, Glenn? Go on.
It's the Angry Video Game.
No! God damn.
Now, a lot of people, and I know Andy doesn't like him, but he's appreciate the time he spends making his videos.
Oh, no, definitely, yeah.
And the way he really goes into the game, mm-hmm. and he says, what is wrong with this game? This is what's wrong with it. That's what's wrong with it. The only downfall I could really give the Angry Video Game Store, he only reviews horrible games.
Well, what I was going to say, he is too American, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I find with him, it's mostly Nintendo. It would be nice if he did a few more varied systems, do you know what I mean?
Well, recently he did an episode about 16-bit wars, the Super Nintendo against the Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And actually, when he did that review, he had a very level head. He didn't bias with the Nintendo, because he's the Nintendo man. He loved Nintendo. At the end of the review, he says, look, I said, they're both brilliant. They're both good systems. And it was really interesting video of that, because he said the pros and cons of each system, and he really went deep into the history and the specs and the games.
That's
and
good, Glenn.
You should watch that review. It was actually a really good review he did, and that's why I put him here, because he has done some good videos I really enjoyed.
All right. I mean, let me tell you why I don't like him, because in contrast to you liking him loads... Now, I know he's well-informed, it's a character that he's created, but it's a whole effing and blinding, it's too cartoonish, and it's just, there have been so many imitators. Well, maybe it's because there's so many imitators, I hate him now, because everyone tried to be him, and it's just, I find the character annoying, but I guess that is part of the charm. But for me, I don't like it, and I find it too, I don't know, it's not for me, that style of reviews. I prefer different styles, but all right, we'll move on to your third choice, Glenn. Who's that?
Third choice? You may have never heard of this person, because I think he's quite newish. It's somebody called The Shadow's Nose.
Oh, not heard of him. Well,
never
tell,
heard
tell
of
me
him.
About
he's actually
person,
a
then.
Very interesting guy, and you might like him, actually, because he does talk a lot about retro gaming.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy from Germany. You could tell he has a German accent. But what this person does, he compares a lot of 8-bit games and 16-bit games on his own mm-hmm. machines, because he has a collection of machines like Steve Benway does.
Yeah.
So sometimes he compares Boogie Boy on the Commodore 64 to the Boogie Boy on the Atari ST. Now, you probably think that's a bit of an unfair comparison, because the Atari ST is like a 16-bit home computer. But it's nice to actually see, when he does those mm-hmm. comparisons, how different it is from the Commodore 64 to the Atari ST. And sometimes he does it Commodore 64 and the Amstrad CPC. So he does a lot of varied comparisons on different 16 and 8-bit computers. And it's really, really interesting.
I mean, it does sound pretty good. I mean, I probably will check him out. I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. I don't check YouTube nowhere near as much as I used to now. It was more of a novelty back when I first started. I think back when I first started, you had the first proper wave of YouTube reviewers that were really good. You had guys like Dentalox, and Dentalox was absolutely amazing. Had a really good sense of humour. He was informative, and it really got me hooked. And there's loads of amazing, you know, YouTube reviewers, but there's ones I don't like, Glenn. Let me tell you what I don't like about certain YouTube reviewers. I hate swearing for the sake of it. I hate stupid, childish sense of humour. I hate people who think they're funny, but they're not funny. I hate rubbish audio quality. Those are some of the things I hate. Now, some of the things I like. I like informative, a good sense of humour, a bit of charm, and interesting, a bit of variety.
Yeah, like some people don't have variety. You see, I know I'm not like the best YouTube reviewer, and I know that for a fact, but I just do for the sake of it. I just basically do because I want to do it.
Well, that's what I wanted to get onto next, Glenn. What made you get into being a YouTube reviewer?
Do you know what really got me into YouTube reviewers? When I see, basically when I saw your videos and see how
really?
You've
wow,
done
okay.
it.
Really? Okay, cheers, buddy.
Do you know, that's really interesting. I like to review a game and just say to people what I think of it. Now, people don't agree with me. Like, probably the video people mostly disagree with me is Sonic R Racers. Some people say I can't play it properly. But I pick it up, I play the levels, and I just did not like it. I just didn't like the game. And a lot of people says, well, you don't know how to play it. You should play it again and play it properly. I'm like, well, if I didn't like it, why would I play it again?
Well, you know what, Glenn? That's one thing, though. There's always a critic. That's a good thing about the internet. Everyone's a critic. Everyone hides within the shadows. You can't please everyone. And it's the same thing goes towards the show. We can't please everyone, but we try to, at least on this show, because we have 6 different hosts now. So hopefully we have enough variety and personalities to vary, to try and please everyone. And it's one of the reasons why I don't do YouTube videos anymore, because it started getting repetitive, just me doing it by myself. I quite enjoy sort of doing podcasts now because I enjoy talking to you. You know, it brings out the best of me and vice versa, I'd like to think.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think we've bonded quite a lot since we've started doing this podcast, and I think the whole team has. So, but overall, let's start rounding this up, though. Do you think YouTube's a good thing for retro gaming?
I think YouTube can be a good thing for retro gaming, but you're always going to get somebody who thinks, like, I know it all kind of thing, and they don't like other people criticizing them. But you get good reviewers who will take some criticism, but also if they complete rubbish, they'll just discard them. I think it's a good thing or bad thing. You just need to find the right people to watch the reviews. Like, some people like to watch silly reviews, like the Angry Video Games Nerd. Some people like to watch you know, a bit more serious reviews, like with you, Andy.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm serious. I ramble on. My style is, like, I'm just a guy playing from experience. I don't necessarily play all the games. A lot of them are by memory. But you know what, Glenn? It's like you said, there's something for everyone. You know, if you like serious stuff, there you go. But you know what? I think YouTube really has brought retro gaming into the forefront. It's so easy just to click onto something, find something you like. You like retro gaming music, you find it. You like a Mega Drive game, you find it. And YouTube is a fantastic source. And podcasting as well. And we'll do an episode about retro gaming podcasts, because we have got some guests coming up from other retro gaming podcasts at some point.
I'd like to say a big thank you to, like, Damien, Matt, Foggy and Swainy for doing all the podcasts while really with me and Andy not really being around.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'd like to thank, you know, Swainy, I'd like to thank Matt, I'd like to thank Foggy, I'd like to thank Damien for all the hard work. You know, Damien's done an amazing job. His girlfriend Lucy's also been helping out with the site. They've completely transformed it. And I think all the guys have each brought their own personalities to the show. And that's what I meant. We each have different styles, you know, that are different from each other. And hopefully, now we've got 6 hosts, we can broaden our horizons to everyone out there. You know, that way people that don't like me, they probably like Matt's reviews. So people that don't like Matt's reviews will probably like your review. And then we've got other people that are like everyone's reviews. So there is something for everyone out there. So yeah, I'd also like to thank John Foster, who's our sponsor for this month. You know, he basically paid for the whole month of January. And if you guys would like to sponsor us, please do, because it really helps us, because financially now I can't pay for the podcast because I've got, you know, a baby. I've got 3 kids now, so it's a struggle. I'd also like to thank Mr. Sid for designing the last cover of the podcast that Foggy did. It's a fantastic cover. And any of you guys want to contribute or even appear on the show, let us know on the forum. We're always more than happy to have our community be part of the show. Right, iTunes reviews, guys.
What's iTunes reviews, Andy?
We've got quite a few iTunes reviews since last time.
Okay, Andy, fire away.
Right. We've got a 5-star iTunes review from Ty Blobs. He put kept me awake on the drive home yesterday. So that's got to be a good thing.
Good thing for road safety.
Yeah. He put, the hosts say they don't do any research. They're just chatting away about retro games like two blokes in a pub, and that's fine. Do you want me to read the next one, or do you want to do it?
I haven't actually got it up, Andy.
All right, I'll read it then, Glenn. The next 5-star review is by Tony2000. He put, I'm addicted. Really like this podcast. It's nice to find one that covers 8 and 16-bit computers, as well as consoles. They cover a lot of different genres as well. My only complaint is they keep on calling the Nintendo GameCube a Games Cube. Only a small quibble, but an otherwise excellent podcast. Next iTunes review, again, 5-star by Rewinder69. He put, excellent. Just started listening to your podcast and it's excellent. I was a massive gamer when I was younger and recently got back into retro gaming. Your advice has been very useful. Next up is from our site sponsor, John Foster. He put, fantastic. Retro Asylum has become my go-to podcast for retro gaming. Not so strong on the facts and data, but bear in mind the presenters produce this show as a pastime in between regular work. The show is presented as simple good friends having a casual, nostalgic chat about their favourite game and systems from yesteryear. A UK podcast, more of the show, is relevant to us, as well as your standard consoles. I love the 8-bit and 16-bit wars, where a comparison is made between the same games on a different system is made up. There's a decent focus on gaming music and chip tunes, and there's been some great interviews on the show. Keep up the good work, guys.
Just like everything, Andy, I think different retro things are... Let's put it this way. I think different podcasts suits different people. I think we more for the casual kind of people.
Yeah, but hopefully by bringing guys in like Damien and Matt, we'll broaden it. You know, we'll have more listeners from different sort of things. So that, you know, there's something for everyone. Let's get back to the reviews. Harmont gave us a 5-star iTunes review. He put, I'll buy you a pint. It's great to sit back, relax, and listen to some informed retro gaming chat. Well done, Andy, for keeping up all the guys in check. Special mention goes to Glenn. He's a legend. Keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you very much. I got a big pat on my shoulders this month.
All right, so we've got another one, which is by Big G. Put, great retro fix. Loved it. The enthusiasm and passion towards retro gaming is evident from the start until the end of each show. I love listening back to the 8-bit days and the greatest home computer ever made, the Spectrum 48K. Put, sorry, Glenn and Dinaris. Seriously, it's not just about the specky. I have now listened to all the shows and have now started back from the beginning. Keep up the great work, lads, and keep them coming. One last word. I'm really looking forward to Dinaris' feature on the Amigo demo scene. Cheers again. And that's going to be a show that I'm looking forward to as well, mate.
Yeah, because if you've seen a lot of Amiga demos that look absolutely amazing, to say it's done on a Commodore Amiga.
Right, next up, our last review. It is by Useless. He put, love this show, 5-star iTunes review. Accidentally stumbled across this one, and I'm glad I did. Great hosts who know what they're talking about. Excellent subjects and good presentation. This could be, well, my second favorite gaming podcast before long, and I listen to about 15 a week. In case you're wondering, Weekend Confirmed is my number one podcast. It will take something of a miracle to beat that one. So, guys, thank you so much for all your iTunes reviews. And again, I'd like to say thank you to JoyPogs. Last time I did sound a bit harsh, but I really do appreciate the reviews, guys. Thank you so much. And, yeah, let's round this up, Glenn. I'm rambling on.
Yeah, well, I'd like to say thank you to everybody who listens to us. And I'd like to thank you to the Retro Asylum team, Damien, Matt, Foggy, and Swainy. Hope I said Foggy correct.
Yeah. Now, again, let's say thank you to everyone. I've got to shoot off now because I've got to go and change some nappies for my baby.
See the bottles.
And I'm also going to be on another podcast called The Monkey Chunk Show. I'm guesting on that. The best thing is I don't have to edit, so I can't wait. So, yeah, see you guys next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody, and we see you next time. On the 18th and 19th of May, 2013.
Yep.
Just
drum roll.
Drum roll. Just let me go back into the room.
This is going to be fun.
Was it actually called?
Revival.
Revival.
Yeah.
Right. Take two.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about what this revival is then, Glenn?
Right. I didn't even read these.
Oh, Glenn, I told you to research them. All right, so shall I tell you what revival is?
Yeah. All right, it's like a game show, isn't it?
Yeah, so let me... Okay, I'm going to edit all this bit out. So let's move on to our next section is... And what is that then, Glenn?
It's WTF time.
Nope.
Oh, no, it's not. I just missed a bit. Right, just...
And Daydream's chosen a game called... Oh, God, I forgot what the game's called. I'm going to have a little look now. Oh, man, how could I forget? I'm going to have to edit this bit out, Glenn. Let's have a little look.
Was it Donkey Kong?
Nope. Daydream chose a Mega Drive game. Let's have a look. God bless editing, eh?
Yeah, can you imagine doing this live? Be right, pig's ear.
I know, definitely. Let's have a look. Where is it? Right, okay. So the game that Daydream's chosen is from a game... I'll start again. The game... The music that... Oh, God, Glenn, I forgot how to talk. The game that Daydream's chosen is called...
It was something like Zeppelins or something. I'll just have a look at
it. Oh, yeah. Go on, then.
Do you know, I thought I'd put that down. It came out around about 91. There for some reason. I don't get it.
Don't worry about it, Glenn. Don't worry about it. We'll edit this bit out.
I just have a look. C64. Have a quick look. Lemon's usually very good at this kind of stuff. Here we go. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it came out. Yeah, it was 1991 by Zeppelin Games.
Right, okay, Glenn, okay. Technological. Yeah, So, let's go to our next section, Glenn, which is Retro Gaming Shop. Nope. Not Name the Game.
Oh, not Name the Game. Retro Gaming Shop. God, I'm getting mixed up as well.
Yeah, so we'll edit this bit out then.
They have got a large... they have actually got a large collection, let's say.
Yeah.
A variety.
Okay, mate, okay. All right, let's move on to our next section, which is... Let's Play. Oh, no, I got that wrong.
Okay. Is it me asking you?
I've got to guess your game.
I could sit on my laptop now and think, do you know, what was that game like on the Commodore 64?
Mm-hmm.
And other things as well. Let me repeat that.
Right. All right. All right. Cheers, Glenn. Chat soon. Bye.